This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأقول في القرآن ما جاءت به آياته فهو الكريم المنزال. وأقول قال الله جل جلاله والمصطفى الهادي ولا أتأول.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin as always by praising Allah Azza wa Jal, by asking Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions. Inshallah ta'ala, this episode is a continuation, the second part of our sort of tying everything up and wrapping everything up as it relates to our previous discussion. And we said there were a number of ahadith, a number of ayat that I alluded to in previous videos. I kind of mentioned it in passing, but I didn't really get to it in detail. So I wanted to bring those ayat in and also just to mention a couple of extra points that come to mind, inshallah ta'ala. So we're asking everyone, after every hadith, after every ayah, pause the video and have a think where you think it fits in and what are the benefits you can take from it. So we're going to start with a hadith of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. مَا ضَرَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَادِمًا لَهُ وَلَمْرَأَهُ وَلَا ضَرَبَ بِيَدِهِ شَيْئًا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never struck a servant of his, nor a woman, nor his wife or any woman. And he never struck anyone or anything with his hand. Where does this fit into our discussion? Muslim family, the concept of marriage, the ideal wife, the ideal husband. Where do we put this in and what are the benefits? Have a think. So inshallah ta'ala, you had a chance to pause and think about that. So I would put this under the ideal husband, that the ideal husband is not the one who hits his wife. And we spoke in the hadith of Zar about the woman who said, شَجَّكِ أَوْ فَلَّكِ أَوْ جَمَعَ كُلًّا لَكِ, that whether he cuts your head or makes your head bleed or wounds your head or wounds your body or does both at the same time. And we said that even though we're going to discuss in the topic of an-nushuz, inshallah, of marital discord, we're going to discuss about the issue of whether a husband is allowed to, for want of a better word, hit his wife or even tap his wife. Is that allowed or not allowed? What are the conditions and rules and regulations around that? We're going to talk about that, inshallah ta'ala. But as the best example that we can take, the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never ever hit a woman. He never raised his hand to a woman, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, nor did he raise his hand to anything except in battle, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. And there are other narrations that indicate except in battle. In battle, it's the only time he, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, raised his hand, because Allah Azza wa Jal sent him rahmatan lil alameen, as a mercy to all of mankind. So he set the best example in that regard. Our next hadith, and by the way, that was hadith was in Sahih Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. Our next hadith is in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad from Aisha radiallahu anha. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرًا أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّفْقِ. If Allah wants good for a household, he puts softness and gentleness, compassion. That's just one word, rifq, but I'm just bringing out those words, softness, gentleness, compassion between them. Where does this fit in? So inshallah ta'ala, you had to think about that. I believe that this can fit in pretty much anywhere in our discussion, because it talks about Ahlul Bayt, an entire family, an entire household of people, that all the people in that household, that Allah Azza wa Jal, if he wants good for them, he puts rifq between them. Softness, compassion, gentleness, kindness, husband to wife, wife to husband, children to parents, parents to children. Rifq, or lean, softness and gentleness. So I think that's where that one fits in. Also, Sahih Muslim, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر أو قال غيره. Hadith from Abi Hurairah in Sahih Muslim, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, let not a believing man hate a believing woman. if he finds within her a characteristic, a mannerism or a habit that he dislikes, he will find another that he is pleased with, or he will find others that he is pleased with. Where does this fit in? Have a think. Inshallah ta'ala, you took some time to think about that one and take the benefits from it. So I believe this fits in the characteristics of the ideal husband. That the ideal husband, he doesn't hate his wife. He doesn't feel that enmity and hatred, even though he will find characteristics that he doesn't like, habits that he doesn't like, behavior that he doesn't like. At the end of the day, none of us are perfect, except for al-anbiya wal-rusul alayhim as-salatu was-salam, that Allah gave them that perfection. The prophets and the messengers alayhim as-salatu was-salam, that Allah gave that perfection to, in terms of the way that they dealt with their families and the way they behaved. You're all going to have behaviors between husband and wife. And to be honest, you can take this also for the wife as well. You, both husband and wife, are going to have behaviors that the other one doesn't like. Try to minimize them, work together to get rid of them, talk to each other about them. We'll talk about that, inshallah ta'ala, in the topic of an-nushuz, discord and disagreements. But ultimately, if you have something you don't like, you have a lot of things that you do like, a lot of other things that you do like. So there's no need for a person to feel like, oh, you know, I, for example, a husband, he says, you know, that I'm not happy with my wife. I don't like my wife. And then he mentions something like salt in the food. She puts too much salt in the food, or she, you know, doesn't listen to me about this small thing, or I don't like the way that she talks in a certain way, or I don't like the way she does this. Small little things. But if he dislikes something, you're going to have loads of other things that you like. So ultimately, it's not for a person to have that kind of hatred or strong dislike for their spouse because of a behavior that is irritating them or a characteristic that's irritating them. Of course, both spouses are going to work to get rid of those, work to get over them, work to minimize them. But ultimately, they're not going to make that a reason for their marriage to be on shaky ground or on rocky ground because of, you know, this because of something small, a small behavior or a small characteristic that they don't like. Our next hadith, an Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qal, and I'm just going to quote you a part of the hadith here. The original part of the hadith in Sahih Muslim, but I'm just quoting you a part from another source of the same hadith. أيما رجل رأى امرأة تعجبه فليقم إلى أهله فإن معها مثل الذي معها. So, the translation of this hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, and the hadith has a story to it, but we're just going to mention the part that I want from the hadith. Whichever man sees another woman, i.e. a foreign woman, not his wife, another woman, that she impresses him. You know, he's attracted to her. She, you know, is alluring to him. Let him go to his family. I let him go and be intimate with his family. I let him go to his wife and satisfy his need and his desire from his wife. For she has the same as she has. She has the same as the other one has. Where are we going to fit this in to the characteristics of the ideal husband or the ideal wife or the concept of marriage or the Muslim family? This one might be a little bit of a tricky one to think about. Have a think about it. Okay, so you maybe had to think about that one. I actually brought this on the topic of beauty and the topic of when we said تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعَ, and one of them was وَلِجَمَالِهَا, for her beauty. لِجَمَالِهَا, for her beauty. So what I wanted to show here is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّ مَعَهَا مِثْلُ الَّذِي مَعَهَا, for what is with the first one, or what is with his wife, is the same as what is with the other one. It's that ultimately, if a wife is to beautify herself and to make an effort, that will be enough for her husband, that she has what every other woman has, and she shouldn't it's not a matter that his wife has to be the most beautiful woman in the whole world. She has what the other one has. At the end of the day, he's going to get the same satisfaction and the same enjoyment and the same benefit that he would get from any other. So what I brought this for is a further clarification on the topic of beauty. But she makes an effort. She makes the biggest effort she can with whatever Allah has given her from the beauty that Allah Azza wa Jal has given her. But I wanted to bring this to show that it is enough. And also you could bring it in the topic of the ideal husband in the sense of him being satisfied with his wife and not letting his eye go out to other women. Now, it is natural that a man may walk past a woman, or in these days, and Allahul Musta'an, he may walk past a picture of a woman that has been through, as we said, Photoshop and whatever else. And it comes into his heart. تُعْجِبُهُ. He thinks, wow, she's really amazing, beautiful. And his heart starts to go like as if shaitan is pulling him. And the Prophet explained this, like it's like a shaitan. It's like a shaitan that's pulling him that way. What does he do? He goes to his wife and he is intimate with her, because at the end of the day, he will get the same satisfaction his wife has what the other woman has. And so I wanted to highlight this specifically from the point of beauty, that a woman shouldn't feel that, oh, well, I can't satisfy my husband if I'm not really beautiful, or if I'm not really, whatever it might be, what people want, tall, or really whatever people find attractive in a woman. But ultimately, it's not like that. She has everything that she needs to make her husband happy. That's why I wanted to bring it. She has everything she needs. She has what every other woman has. She has what she needs. And also from the characteristics of the husband, the ideal husband, that he should not let his eye wander. And if his eye does, without it being deliberate, settle upon another woman, let him go to his wife, because he will find satisfaction in that and he will find contentment in that. And that will take that other thing that he saw out of his heart, as is mentioned in the other narrations of this hadith. Our next hadith. عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال واستوصوا بالنساء فإن المرأة خلقت من ضلع وإن أعوج شيء في الضلع علاه إن ذهبت تقيمه كسرته وإن تركته لم يزل أعوج استوصوا بالنساء خيرا. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah from the Prophet ﷺ, that he said, be good to your women, because the woman was created from the rib, and the most bent part of the rib is the highest part. If you go trying to straighten it, you will break it. And if you leave it, it'll still be bent. It'll still be crooked. So treat your women well. Now, I'm going to actually just make a variation here. I'm going to ask you to pause the video and think, but I'm going to ask you to bring a characteristic of the ideal wife and the ideal husband from this. The ideal wife and don't say the ideal wife is the one that doesn't have the crookedness of the bent rib, because all of them have that. Yani that is completely how Allah Azza wa Jal created the woman. But what can you take from the ideal wife here? The ideal husband might be easy, but what are you going to take from the ideal wife here, as well as the ideal husband? Have a think. Okay, inshallah ta'ala, you had to think about that. So here, the ideal husband, no doubt, is that the husband is one that doesn't try to break his wife, i.e. he doesn't try to correct every small fault, because ultimately she was created with a certain crookedness, in the sense of that she was created from the bent rib and she inherited a certain thing in that. And ultimately, if you try to correct every small fault, كَسَرْتَهُ, you'll snap the rib. And if you snap the rib, it is الطلاق, it's divorce. You'll divorce, because you want to correct every little thing in your wife. You want to correct every small, tiny, little, miniature mistake that she makes. You want to correct it. It's like a person who takes a rib that has a bend in it and he keeps on trying to make it straight until snap, the rib is broken. He didn't treat her well. He didn't look after her. He just ends up splitting from her. She ends up miserable. He ends up miserable because he's trying to correct every small fault. Instead, he looks at what's important. Al-aham fal-muhim. Start with the most important, the next important, and so on. And he, you know, goes about things in that way. He doesn't try to correct every small, tiny little thing and pull it up on every little thing. As for the characteristic of the ideal wife that we take from this, then I take from this that she does her best to guard her tongue. Because the scholars, they said that the meaning of وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ شَيْءٍ فِي الضِّلِ عَلَى, that the most crooked part of the rib is the upper part, the scholars said it's the tongue. It's that sometimes she says things that with her tongue she doesn't mean. So she might say to her husband, I've not seen any good from you, or it was never good to marry, you've never done anything good for me, and so on. So the ideal wife tries to reduce the amount of times and minimize the amount of times that she might say something that is not right, or she might lash out with her tongue, or she might hurt her husband with what she says, and she tries to minimize that to the absolute minimum possible. That's what I would take on the topic of the ideal wife from that particular hadith. Our next hadith, وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خديجة فتناولتها فقلت عجوز كذا وكذا قد أبدلك الله بها خيرا منها قال ما أبدلني الله خيرا منها. I'll just translate the first part of the hadith. Aisha, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Khadija. So I had a go at her. I said something bad about her. I said, she's an old woman, this and that. Allah has replaced her for you with someone better than her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has never replaced her with better. Allah has never replaced for me with better than her. لَقَدْ آمَنَتْ بِي حِينَ كَفَرَ النَّاسِ وَأَشْرَكَتْنِي فِي مَالِهَا حِينَ حَرَّمَنِ النَّاسِ وَرَزَقَنِ اللَّهُ وَلَدَهَا وَحَرَّمَنِي وَلَدَ غَيْرِهَا قُلْتُ وَاللَّهِ لَا أُعَاتِبُكَ فِيهَا بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. The remainder of the hadith, Aisha, she said that the Prophet said that wallahi, Allah has never replaced her with better. She believed in me when the people disbelieved in me. She helped me by giving me some of her wealth when the people didn't give me anything. And Allah gave me children from her when Allah had not allowed me to have children from others and his other wives. Aisha said, by Allah, I will never any وَعَاتِبُكَ, I will never sort of have a go at you about her after today. Or I will never have a go, or I will never say anything like that to you about her after today. What can we take from this? Have a think. So actually, there's a lot of benefits you can take from this hadith, but I wanted to take it from the point of view of the ideal wife. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ said about Khadija. That when all the people didn't believe in him, Khadija believed. When the people didn't help him, Khadija helped him. And that's from the characteristic I wanted to focus on here is the wife that helps out her husband. Now, obviously, that wealth belonged to Khadija radiallahu anha, and the Prophet ﷺ was required to spend upon her. But Khadija radiallahu anha, she helped out the Prophet ﷺ when no one else helped him out. Or when very few people helped him out. Generally, the people, they didn't help him, or they weren't supporting him in anything, and she supported him radiallahu anha. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave children through her. So she was walud. She had many children for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he wasn't able to have children from other than her, with the exceptions that we know of later on within the seerah. And likewise, we can take from the statement of Aisha that she said, and she said, I'm not going to say anything about her. I'm not going to have a go about her to you ever after today. And that is also from the characteristics of the ideal wife, in terms of that she shouldn't say anything about a co-wife or anything that would make a husband upset like that, or to say anything like that. She admitted her fault. Radiallahu anha, Aisha, she admitted that she had made a mistake about that, and she shouldn't have said that. But why she said it is because the Prophet always used to mention Khadija with good. And he always used to, and he used to do a lot for, even though Khadija had passed away, radiallahu anha, he used to, even her friends, he would send gifts to her friends. And he would look after her friends because of how much he had that love for Khadija and how excellent Khadija was. So this is really a beautiful description of the ideal wife, but I wanted to take it from the point of view of supporting a wife, supporting her husband, even if it is in the voluntary things, like the wealth and so on, but really trying to do her very best for her husband and really trying to help him and support him, maybe at the times when nobody else supports him. The next is an ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Those who say, our Lord, give us, grant us from our wives or spouses and our offspring that which will be the pleasure for our eyes and make us an example for the pious. Here I want you to take again two: the ideal wife and the ideal husband. I'm not going to make it easy for you. So pause the video, have a think. Inshallah ta'ala, you pause the video, you had to think about that. First of all, no doubt the dua is a beautiful dua for the husband to make, for the wife to make, that, oh Allah, give us from our spouses and our offspring that which is a pleasure for our eyes. From the point of the ideal wife, the ideal husband, being a pleasure, being qurrat ayn for your spouse, that when you look at them, you feel satisfied, you feel content. And that doesn't mean that the beauty necessarily, beauty might be a part of it, but it also just means when you look at them, you feel alhamdulillah, that's, you know, alhamdulillah, I'm happy. Qurrat ayn, what makes your eye, the coolness of your eye, the pleasure of your eye. And also, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, that both the husband and the spouse should be an imam, as an example. The husband and the wife should be an example for the pious people. The husband should be an exemplary husband and the wife should be an exemplary wife, because one of the meanings of imam is an example for others to follow. So the husband is an example for other husbands to follow. He's like an exemplary husband, and the wife is an example for other women to follow. She's like an exemplary wife. So we can take that also from the ayah. Our next hadith is a hadith of Thawban radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, he said, لِيَتَّخِذْ أَحَدُكُمْ قَلْبًا شَاكِرًا وَلِسَانًا ذَاكِرًا وَزَوْجَةً مُؤْمِنَةً تُعِينُهُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ. Let one of you take from this world a heart that is grateful and a tongue that remembers Allah and a believing wife that will help him in the matters of his akhirah. In another narration, تُعِينُهُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ دِينِكَ وَدُنْيَاكَ, that she will help you in matters of your deen and your dunya. What do we take from this? So inshallah ta'ala, you had to think. What we take from this is very simple. In the characteristics of the ideal wife, is that she is someone who has three characteristics mentioned here. She's mu'mina, she's a believer. And that means that, you know, we really look for the deen first. It's the deen that matters. And she helps the husband in his akhirah. She helps him to get closer to Allah, and she helps him in his dunya, in his worldly life. She helps him in his dunya, keeping him chaste, meeting his needs, looking after him and looking after his house and his property and so on. She helps him in his dunya and she helps him to get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's from the characteristics. And the most important of the characteristics of the ideal wife, we said, is that ad-deen, the one who is the woman of religion. In our next hadith, أَرْبَعٌ مِنَ السَّعَادَةِ وَأَرْبَعٌ مِنَ الشَّقَاءِ فَمِنَ السَّعَادَةِ الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ تَرَاهَا فَتُعْجِبُكَ وَتَغِيبُ عَنْهَا فَتَأْمَّنُهَا عَنْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهَا وَمَالِكَ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, four things are from happiness and four things are from misery. So from happiness, and I'm just going to focus on one, he said, a righteous wife. When you see her, she impresses you. And when you are absent from her, you trust her with herself and with your money. And I'm going to continue the hadith. the Prophet says, I'm just quoting the part of it, وَمِنَ الشَّقَاءِ, and from misery, الْمَرْأَةُ تَرَاهَا فَتَسُوءُكْ وَتَحْمِلُ لِسَانَهَا عَلَيْكْ وَإِنْ غِبْتَ عَنْهَا لَمْ تَأْمَنْهَا عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهَا وَمَالِكْ. The hadith is in Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim reported it from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He said, from misery is a woman that you look at her and she makes you feel, you know, she makes you feel horrible. When you look at her, you just feel terrible. And she carries her tongue against you and she uses her tongue against you. And when you are absent from her, you don't trust, you're not able to trust her with herself or your money. What can we take from this? So inshallah, there's lots of things to take from this on the ideal wife. First of all, that a woman should be, when a husband looks at her, he feels pleased with her. And that can be that she takes care of her appearance, it can be the way she behaves, it can be her Islam, it can be her, all the aspects of the ideal wife. The husband looks and he thinks, alhamdulillah, this is the ideal wife, so happy with her. And that it's not when he looks at her, he's like, oh, you know, either she isn't presenting herself nicely, or she isn't making the most of what she has, or that she has bad manners, bad characteristics, or she's not worshipping Allah the way that he would want, or she doesn't have the right characteristic or good manners. And also this issue of the tongue, that she's not a one with a sharp tongue all the time, beating her husband up. We talked about the husband doesn't hit his wife. We talked about the Prophet ﷺ didn't hit any servant of his, and nor did he hit any wife or any woman of his. But subhanAllah, some women beat up their husbands with the tongue. Some women beat up their husbands physically. We can say it's nadir, it's rare. But it's very common that there are women that beat up their husbands with their tongue. Just the tongue is always against the husband, always has something bad to say about the husband. So this is not from the characteristics of the ideal wife. She has to reverse this. Sometimes she's going to say certain things. That's natural. Husband's going to sometimes get angry. It happens. But generally speaking, she's going to be somebody who controls that tongue and keeps it under control and doesn't keep hitting her husband with it all the time, with those words. And the next point that we're going to take is that when the husband is away, he feels safe with her for herself, her covering, her hijab and so on, and also with regard to the wealth of the husband. Now, with the wealth of the husband, that doesn't mean she's not going to spend anything. She's going to spend it on her needs according to what her husband's given permission and agreed to and so on. But what it means here is that he knows she's not going to squander his wealth. She's not going to come back and she's like, yeah, I bought this and this and this and this and this from your wealth without his permission, and he doesn't know about it, and then all of his wealth or a lot of his wealth or a large amount has gone. And also he feels safe with her. He trusts her with regard to herself, in terms of a hijab, in terms of the way she interacts with other people, and so on. So that's a great benefit that we can take from this hadith. Our next hadith that we're going to take is a hadith in Al-Bayhaqi, from the hadith of Abi Uthayna, that he said, خَيْرُ نِسَائِكُمْ الْوَلُودْ الْوَدُودْ الْمُوَاسِيَ الْمُوَاتِيَ إِذَا اتَّقَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَشَرُّ نِسَائِكُمْ الْمُتَبَرِّجَاتِ المتخيلات هن المنافقات لا يدخل الجنة منهن إلا مثل الغراب الأعصم. This is a very, very subhanAllah worrying hadith, to be honest. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the best of your women are the one who is loving and will bear you many children, the one who is comforting, and the one who is tolerant, if she has taqwa of Allah, or if they have taqwa of Allah. And the worst of your women are the ones who are mutabarrijat, they are not covered, and they are mutakhayyilat, they have arrogance, they are the hypocrites. They will not, none of them or not one of them will enter Jannah except for like the al-ghurab al-a'sam, the crow with the red legs, and it's very rare and extremely rare that one of them will enter Jannah. So what do you think about this? Where can we put this? So this is relating to the ideal wife. So we have four characteristics. We have al-walud, al-wadud, we mentioned. We have also al-muwasiya, al-muwatiya, the one who is comforting to her husband. We've talked about this, that she is litaskunu ilayha, she comforts him. And she's tolerant, she's easygoing with him. And she has taqwa of Allah, that's the fifth one. She has taqwa of Allah. And also a warning against two things. At-tabarruj, which is not having the proper hijab. And the worst of your women are al-mutabarrijat. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Don't expose yourself and go out without your hijab like you used to do in jahiliyyah. The worst of your women are the ones that are mutabarrijat, they expose themselves, they're not the proper hijab. And we're not just talking about the headscarf and that's it. You know, don't get me wrong, we fully understand how difficult the hijab can be and how much support our sisters in Islam need, and that's a given, and the husband should support his wife in that. But it is not, it's not okay, it's not good, it's not, like, you know, acceptable that a woman, she doesn't keep a proper hijab and she goes out and adorns herself either by not keeping a hijab properly or by she wears perfume or jewelry or makeup or whatever it might be, and she goes out like the women used to go out in the time of Jahiliyyah. The Prophet said, "Sharru nisa'ikum," the worst of your women are al-mutabarrijat, the ones who go out without their proper covering. Mutakhayyilat, the ones who have that arrogance, they are al-munafiqat, they are the hypocrites. And here, and the hypocrite here is nifaq amali, it's nifaq which is in action, and it's not the nifaq which makes you a kafir, which makes you a disbeliever. But know that it's a symbol of the munafiq. La yadkhul jannata minhunna illa mithlu al-gharab al-a'sam. None will enter paradise from them except like the crow with, yani, that crow, the rare crow with the red legs and the red features. Yani, it's a rarity that one of them will enter Jannah, i.e. in the first instance, yani, like in the, with the people who enter Jannah in the first instance. Subhanallah, that's a very, very worrying hadith. Wallahi, and we really have to say to our sisters in Islam, take care of your hijab. And I know people are going to watch this video at different levels. Going to be some sisters who are just starting with their hijab, just struggling, maybe, you know, sometimes not. It's not to say to you that, you know, give up and stop and whatever, but it's just to understand that it's not something that is easy in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something small in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say from this, the ideal wife, we had those five characteristics at the beginning, and also that she's very careful about her covering, and also how many women wear hijab and then makeup and perfume and so on. This is also from tabarruj al-jahiliyyah, from the exposing themselves like the way of jahiliyyah. Even if it is less than some of the other examples that we mentioned, then it still falls under that category. So it's very, very important she takes care of her hijab and that she is humble. And of course, that is something that both men and women should aim for, to be humble, to be not to be arrogant and not to have pride. From the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu an, خير النساء التي تسره إذا نظر وتطيعه إذا أمر ولا تخالفه في نفسها ولا مالها بما يكره. This hadith in Imam Ahmad narrated it, and Imam al-Nasa'i from Abi Hurairah. The best of the women are the ones that she makes you happy when you look, obeys you when you command, and she doesn't go against you with herself or her money in that which he would dislike. Where are we going to put this one? So inshallah ta'ala, you had to think about it. This again relates to some of the characteristics of the perfect wife or the ideal wife. The best of the women are the ones that we've mentioned. If you look at her, you're content. That doesn't mean that she necessarily has to be amazingly beautiful, but she makes an effort with her appearance. She does the best she can. And her akhlaq, her manners and her behavior and her religion, when you look at her, you're happy. And when you command her in that which is not disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, she obeys. She's obedient in terms of, and that we're going to talk about the husband as the head of the household and how the family is set out and the interactions between the husband and the wife. And she doesn't go against her husband with herself, in her anything relating to herself, who she spends her time with, how she dresses, how she behaves. She keeps herself in terms of her chastity and so on, nor her wealth, in something her husband would dislike. So there's a lot of characteristics there regarding the ideal wife. Some of them we had mentioned before. So that's all we have time for in this episode. And that concludes some of the many ahadith on this topic. To be honest, we didn't cover all of the ahadith, nor did we cover all of the ayat, but we just covered what Allah Azza wa Jal made easy for us to mention on that topic. In our next episode, we're going to go on to talk about the marriage contract itself and what that entails and how that is structured. And then later after that, we'll go on to talk about the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife. That's what Allah made easy for me to mention. Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala Nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Assalamu alaikum. If you're enjoying these videos and you'd like to keep up to date with all of the courses we're going to be running, make sure you head over to amauathome.com.